Hey everyone, before we open today's file, please make sure to follow us on Instagram at d.s.radio, where you can find all the images that go along with today's case. You can drop us an email at contact.dsradio@gmail.com. You can find all of our socials in the Linktree bio on our Instagram profile, including links to merch. If you're feeling especially generous, you can join our Patreon at patreon.com/dystopiansimulationradio, where you can get access to our exclusive Instagram page and make suggestions for upcoming episode topics that you would like us to cover. Speaking of Patreon, thanks to our Patreons, Riff Cult, Cropley Crab, Cash Broadus, Raspberry Jr., Jason R. Nelson, Creepy Paper, Jamie Sook, Michael Laughlin, Lindsay Keller, Mike Wright, Gria Weaver, Kelsey Carithers, Linz Gibbon, Drake Holvig, Only Child, Michael M, Wesley Akers, Riaz K, Emily Medeiros, Pip, Heather Wynn, Graves, Devin Sweatshirt, The Ordained Sinister Minister, and Philip Hoffman.
Hi everybody, welcome to Dystopian Simulation Radio. I'm your host Chris.
I'm Linz.
Linz, how you doing?
Sitting in the dark with sunglasses and a migraine, but it's easing off. It's going away, and hopefully whatever story you're going to tell me today will be very distracting. I'm sure it will be after last week's debacle.
just check, there's no large praying mantises in the corner, or
I'm just going to turn around and have a look.
Anything like that?
Nope, currently uncooked.
good for the time being. Okay. So yeah, last time, if you didn't hear last week's episode, a must listen. It is a bizarre story of a man who had an intergalactic relationship with a sexy alien named Crescent.
Well, Chris thinks that Crescent was sexy, but we'll let everybody else judge for themselves.
Hey, man, you like what you like.
You do. So what have you been up to, Chris?
Not much, just the usual, but you know what? I have been doing an inordinate amount of time thinking about our sort of I don't know if we'd call them favorite band, but definitely they're up there, AFI.
20-year anniversary of Sing the Sorrow, right?
Oh, God. I can only get so erect.
Who needs a mantis when you've got Davey Havoc fluffing in your ears?
Yeah, I mean, for me, Sing the Sorrow, I make no bones of it, it is my favourite album. I absolutely love it. For me, it's perfect.
Is that your favourite AFI? Ah, never knew that.
I think it might be my favourite album, period.
Ooh, okay.
Full stop.
Mine's Black Sails and Art of Drowning. Oh, that, you mean your favourite album of all time?
Yeah.
Damn, I didn't know that.
Since I heard it in 2000 and, well, but anyway, whenever it was around then. It's never metaphorically left my CD player. Unfortunately, couldn't make it to LA for that one-off show of them playing it back to back. But I do have it queued up, ready to watch as soon as I have about 2 hours spare, which will be in about 2027.
Yeah, I was going to say good luck with that.
People can check out all of the images from today's episode if they go to @d.s.radio. If you're feeling especially generous, you can join our Patreon over at
patreon.com/dystopiansimulationradio.
And guess what, Patreons? We have got a new benefit for each and every single one of you, all of you that subscribe.
Yes, it is a private Instagram account, and it's for Patreons only, and it's where we post, like, Chris has posted like a little mini vlog on there, and we have bits and pieces from behind the scenes, and you know, day-to-day things that we see that we think fit into the DSR world. So we're posting there. And the handle for that is, Chris?
At DSR Friend Club, which is a terrible pun on the Misfits Fiend Club. So at DSR Friend Club. We will only accept you onto there, though. It is a private Instagram if you are an active Patreon subscriber. So you do need, we do need to know. And if we, sorry, if you've tried to add us and we haven't added you, but you are a Patreon, it's because we don't recognize your name. So just send us a message on Patreon or on the regular Instagram, let us know, and then we can sort that out for you. But there's all kinds of high drinks going on over there, and it's just more of a direct way of getting to you than Patreon, which is a little bit of a funny setup. We're still going to be posting on Patreon all the additional things that we do, so nothing's changing over there. And for those of you who don't want to subscribe to Patreon for any reason, that's totally fine. The podcast is still free. Nothing's changing on the Instagram that we do either. Everything is going to look completely normal. It's just you can get some Brucey bonus stuff if you go over to at DSR Friend Club.
Yeah, you know what I'm like for Instagram. I'm a fiend. I'm always posting.
You're a friend.
I'm a friend. All right, Chris. So you have a story for us today.
I do. I have got a very, very, very interesting file for us today. But before I do, Lynn's a question. If you could visit any point in history that isn't right now, when would you go to?
Oh my gosh. That's putting me on the spot. It's kind of hard to pick, to be honest. Like, what historical moment do you want to be a part of? I have no clue. It's later I'll probably think of something really great. But right now I'm just kind of overwhelmed. There's so many. I mean, I guess I could be the only human to coexist next to dinosaurs and go look at a T-Rex. It's not specifically a historical point.
No, it works. It works, oh man. I mean, that's a great...
But I mean, have a look at some dinosaurs. See if they were feathered. See what colours they are. See how fast I'd be eaten.
I might dispute your claim that you're the only human to stand alongside dinosaurs, though, but we'll get into that later on today.
This is not part of it, is it?
Well, well, well. Let us see.
Oh my gosh, yes.
But I think, personally, if I was to go back in time, I'd like to go back to the moment that President Kennedy was shot, just so that I could linger on the grassy knoll wearing a dead Kennedy's t-shirt and set conspiracy theorists running wild.
With a modern hat and some Hot Topic accessories.
And a smartphone.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes, today, you may have guessed, we are covering time travel, not just the topic. But by the end of this episode, we will have met a real-life, bona fide presidential time traveler.
Shut up.
Any guesses who I'm talking about?
No. Presidential time travel.
What president would be most likely to travel in time?
Oh my gosh, I don't know.
Take a guess.
Because you've said dead Kennedys, I just want to say Reagan.
Ronald Reagan. Okay, it's good. I would go with Taft. I think he looks like he's got the air of a time traveler.
You love about Taft. Him.
I do love a bit of Taft.
You love him.
He's my spirit animal.
I've got no clue, though.
Well, let's find out. But first, Linz.
Yes.
Top 5 time travel movies, according to the Time Travel Movie Board of Classifications.
Back to the Future. Sorry, I got excited.
Number 5. Austin Powers, The Spy Who Shagged Me.
Oh, fuck off.
Not really.
Oh,
not
thank
really.
God. I actually got angry then.
Number 5, The Planet of the Apes. Spoilers, but as it turns out, those damn dirty apes lived on Earth after all. Number 4, Time Cop. Jean-Claude Van Damme as a time-traveling policeman. Enough said, it won 7 Oscars. Number 3, Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure.
Really?
Party on, Bill. Wait, wrong 90s duo. But anyway, Bill and Ted must pass for a history project, get their band, the Wild Stallions famous, and acquire babes along the way.
Are you going to put excellent in the soundbite? Excellent!
I can do. Or I might just leave that bit in.
Damn it.
Number two, Demolition Man. Much like Austin Powers, Denzel Washington and Sylvester Stallone are frozen, only to wake up in futuristic 2032, or 9 years from the recording of this episode, to do futuristic battle across LA. And number one, the greatest time travel movie of all time, but also possibly the best movie ever made, Terminator 2, Judgment Day.
Yes.
Arnie is reprogrammed to be a good bot and is sent back in time to save the future leader of a resistance movement against the machines, all while being pursued by a chrome melty boy who went on to star in The X-Files.
But where's Back to the Future?
I've never seen Back to the Future.
What? Sorry, I'm in shock. You've never seen Back to the Future?
No. It's
Are you
one
joking?
Of my... No, not at all.
What the fuck, Chris? Who are you?
It's just one of my blind spots. I've seen
You're dead to me.
All kinds of movies, but I've just never seen it at all. So
how can you avoid it? Like, you've existed in England around Christmas.
Is it a Christmas movie?
No, but it's like always on. It's like The Goonies.
Well, see, I'd never seen The Goonies until I was about 25.
What the Chris?
They're just like the certain movies that people love that I haven't seen. And there's probably movies that other people love that you haven't seen.
Chris, it's a Back to the Future.
Yeah.
You've got to go watch it. Like, tomorrow, go watch it.
I see, I'm a bit afraid if I did, because
This is so wrong.
When I saw The Goonies, I was like, eh. And I think, like, if you don't watch these things when you're a kid, they just don't work.
What? Oh, man, I'm really shocked. I can't believe this. I feel betrayed. There's some kind of emotion that I can't describe. Chris!
I mean, I'm not saying Back to the Future or its sequels are bad movies. I just haven't seen them.
It would be better if you said they were bad movies.
I know Flea.
Oh, gosh.
Flea is in it. That's about as far
exactly,
as I know.
Exactly. Like, how could you have not... Okay, we have to move past this.
Okay, then. So before we get into the tofu of today's story, let's first have a simple, straightforward entree of a question that should prove very easy to answer.
Oh, God.
Lins, is time travel theoretically possible?
Yes.
So what are you saying? You're saying yes, time travel's possible?
Yes, theoretically.
Or the answer is yes or no. Depends on who you listen to. I will preface this next section by saying what I'm going to talk about here and to introduce us to our bona fide time travel and to get us to our story today is a bit about the theory behind time travel. And this is my understanding of some very intelligent theorists. I am not an intelligent theorist. I'm barely classed as intelligent life. So cut me a little bit of slack here. I'm doing my best.
You look intelligent next to me on this podcast, at least.
Well, I've done a lot of reading about this, and the most bandied around theory is that time travel into the future is possible, but traveling to the past could be impossible. Now, the classic scenario uses Einstein's special theory of relativity to propose a scenario. There are two twins. Twin number one is an astronaut. Twin two, they pour pints down at the Queen's head. Oh, look, there's Prince Harry.
Oh, God.
Twin one gets in their spaceship and travels very quickly, or just goes into a lower gravity field relative to Earth, but never mind about that. But upon their return, they will be the same age, give or take, as when they left Earth. But twin two, who works behind the bar, will be older. How much older depends on how long you traveled for. So in a sense, you are traveling into the future because you're staying the same age, or relatively, while everyone else is aging in an accelerated fashion relative to yourself. So this is interesting, but it's a technicality. And it seems like a lot of work, right? I mean, you just want to jump into a blue box or press a button on your watch and whoosh, time travel.
Exactly.
Well, I mean, in reality, or in theory, A time machine, it just wouldn't actually do that much for you, to be honest. You've got to consider that Earth's position is constantly changing. So to make sure you've got the right coordinates, you would actually need a space-time machine that would also account for these movements. Otherwise, you might travel back in time, but you'd just get dumped somewhere in the vastness of space. We could use black holes to bend the fabric of time, only by about half the amount of time here on Earth. So if you orbited a black hole for 5 years, 10 years would have passed on Earth. So this is quite limiting and impractical.
And boring.
Well, very boring as well.
5 years in a black hole.
You better hope you've got Netflix.
Yeah, sounds like school.
A wormhole could possibly allow us to go backwards in time. They theoretically exist and could shorten the distance between two points in space. Kind of like opening the door to your spare room and ending up in 1415 on the 25th of October in the middle of the Battle of Agincourt, when really, you just wanted that Black Flag CD that you swear was under the bed. Space distortion could be the way to travel in time. But putting that aside for a moment, the real problem is that you need to be able to be going faster than the speed of light. Theoretically, it's been shown that backwards time travel is possible, but only when going faster than the speed of light, which is kind of a big issue, as we cannot currently theoretically go faster than the speed of light, only hypothetically.
Hmm.
Various suggestions have been made. A popular one is the Tipper cylinder, which would allow one to travel forward or backward in time, depending on the direction that you are traveling through the cylinder in your spaceship. I mean, this sounds great, right? But the cylinder would need to be infinitely long and also spin faster than the speed of light, which means that it would have to be constructed out of some kind of exotic matter and requires negative energy, none of which have been formally discovered for use in general construction. I mean, we can't even build a high-speed railway in this country, so there's no point even attempting one of these things.
And it sounds kind of pukey.
Yeah, you'd definitely be hurling chunks if you were travelling through. And then there's the other constant issue, which is the grandfather paradox. Are you familiar with this, Linz?
Rings a far-off bell. Remind me.
The grandfather paradox is that if you travel back in time and kill your grandfather at a young age, presumably because you're a dick, your parents can never meet, because that means one of them will never have been born, and therefore you cease to exist. The paradoxical nature of this means that you were never born to go back and kill your grandfather. So you never existed to commit the crime in the first place. So this is just paradoxical, and who knows what might happen if you did this, or even if you did a much more minor thing in the past, the kind of butterfly effect that it may have in the future. On top of this, nobody knows, even theoretically, what might happen if you ran into your past self. Well, I say nobody knows.
Ooh.
One man might know. But let's just hold off on that for another second. So the two arguments about if you could go back in time or not, which is really yes or no, can be personified in two individuals, Stephen Hawking and Neil deGrasse Tyson. This is not to say that one of these individuals is arguing that we could definitely go back in time. All I'm saying is that one at least entertains the possibility. Stephen Hawking needs no introduction. Neil deGrasse Tyson, if you don't know, is probably the most famous astrophysicist of our time who's still alive. Now, Stephen Hawking's position was that backwards time travel was just impossible without the use of black holes or wormholes. So he did not believe there was any way that you could just jump into a telephone box and be brought back in time. He was so confident of this that he held up a slap-up champagne party for any time travellers, all expenses paid, and waited. Would you like to see the results of that experiment?
100%.
I like simple experiments and champagne. So I've combined two of my favourite things to see if time travel from the future to the past is possible. I'm throwing a party.
A welcome reception for future time travellers. But there's a twist. I'm not letting anyone know about it until after the party has happened. Here is the invitation, giving the exact coordinates in time and space. I'm hoping copies of it, in one form or another, will survive for many thousands of years. Maybe, one day, someone living in the future will find the information and use a wormhole time machine to come back to my party, proving that time travel will, one day, be possible. My time traveler guests could be arriving any moment now. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. What a shame. I was hoping a future Miss Universe was going to step through the door.
The Randy bastard. He's made his position very clear.
I guess you're putting that clip in for people to listen to. But yeah, Stephen Hawking, he puts out a invitation to his party, doesn't tell anyone about it, and hopes that someone from the future, specifically a future Miss Universe, is going to walk through the door. And the food didn't look very great. There was a lot of champagne. Not a lot of variation on the food front. And also, I think there's a soundbite in there when he goes, "What a shame." That could definitely be like a TikTok stitch or some like meme real estate around that.
What a shame.
Same. What a shame.
Now, Neil deGrasse Tyson, on the other hand, feels that it is certainly unlikely, but what if we just need to try harder? I'll let him explain in a discussion that he had with Stephen Hawking.
Have the ability to travel backwards in time? I'm thinking not, simply because if we ever did obtain that ability, we would have met somebody by now from the future.
One might hope that we could warp space-time so that one could go off in a rocket and come back in the past. But I have shown that this is not possible if energy density is always non-negative.
Okay. Maybe that's a big if. All we have to do is create negative energy density stuff. Then we'll all be able to travel backwards in time.
Bit passive-aggressive there. All we have to do is create stuff.
I mean, that's pretty much just Neil deGrasse Tyson, to be honest. Yeah. All of this is getting above my space station, and my head is starting to hurt again, as it did when I tried to figure out where we all came from and the Big Bang in our moon landings episode. And I've done a lot of reading about that subject since then, and I can now confirm that I am even stupider than I thought I was. So I decided that I would go straight to the source, tap into the well of knowledge, and speak directly to Neil deGrasse Tyson.
What?
To get some answers on time travel. Would you like to hear my interview?
Did you actually do an interview?
Yeah, hell yeah, I did.
How? Oh my God, yes.
Neil, thank you very much for definitely appearing on our podcast right now. But what I want to know about is time travel. And from my research, I'm thinking it's easier to go forward in time than back in time.
Oh, we can easily travel forward in time, and we've known how to do that since 1905. Einstein's special theory of relativity lays out the whole recipe of how you can move into the future. And all you have to do is go into a sort of a lower gravity field relative to other people, or just travel very fast, and your clock will tick slower than that of everybody else that you've left behind. And then when you return, you'll be younger than your twin, for example, if you had left your twin back on Earth. So in that sense, you are traveling into the future. That's easy to do, and we've known how to do that.
Easy.
Traveling backwards, that's the problem. And it takes We think we can do that. I have some colleagues who've made some calculations that assert that depending on a trajectory you take around a black hole, you can come out and end up in the past of when you started.
Wow.
So, but that takes extraordinary setup to make happen. But right now, no problem traveling into the future.
Wow, that's absolutely fascinating. And I mean, forgive me, Neil, because I ain't no fancy big city astrophysicist, but might the way forward actually be using wormholes for time travel?
Oh, yeah. So what a wormhole enables, by the way, if you manage to travel someplace faster than light, you have the capacity to move backwards in time. We've got that one established as well. Mm-hmm. We just don't have any easy way to travel faster than light. But one way that's been celebrated in science fiction, and you can write it out on paper legitimately, is a wormhole. A wormhole, I'm over here, and I want to get over there, and I want to get there quickly. I want to get there before the end of the commercial break, okay? So you can travel through a wormhole that changes the effective distance between where you are and where you're going.
Mm.
And then you sort of look around when you get there and you find, oh my gosh, I've traveled 100,000 light years in a matter of a moment. Okay? When you do that, you have the capacity to move backwards in time relative to when you left. Okay. Now, you don't get to visit yourself. You're in a sort of a different space-time trajectory. So you can't shake hands with yourself before you left. So if that's what you're thinking of doing, no.
I mean, that sounds like it caused some serious issues. I mean, but what would happen?
There's a huge paradox that people worry about. And many people, including Stephen Hawking, the late Stephen Hawking, worried whether this paradox would prevent backwards time travel completely. Because if you go back in time and prevent your parents from meeting one another, then they wouldn't have ever given birth to you to go back in time to prevent them from meeting one another.
Neil, you're a smart guy, but you're making no sense right now at all. Sorry, Neil, what are you doing right now?
It's really hard.
Neil, you're a scientist. Stop. Quick. Which is better, Bill and Ted or Back to the Future?
You gotta love Bill and Ted.
All right. Okay. Now we're back to it. Just keep your hands on the table, Neil, where everybody can see them. Right. Well, final question. I don't want to keep any more of your time. Just what review would you give Dystopian Simulation Radio?
Two thumbs up on that one.
You're damn right. Keep watching the skies, Neil. The truth is out there.
Well, Chris, for some reason, I had high hopes. I don't know why, because you are fucking ridiculous.
I am going out there into the field, into the asteroid fields, and getting these.
You have gone nowhere, Chris.
I wouldn't say I've gone nowhere, but I would say I'm going nowhere.
Well, that was probably the best interview that we'll ever get here at DSR. So thanks for the hard work.
Neil, if you want to come back for round two, you're welcome anytime.
Please.
But anyway, enough of that fascinating stuff. On to today's topic. And I'd like you, Linz, to take part in a game to begin with.
Oh, you know, I'm not good at these things.
Oh, I think you'll be good at this one. So this game is Blind Date and or The Dating Game, depending on what side of the Atlantic you're listening to this podcast on. And I'm going to present to you, Linz, three eligible bachelors. And you have to decide which one is most likely to have traveled in time and therefore be the perfect date for some reason only known to the producers of this show.
Not a game that I can play. Okay, let's go for it.
So let's meet them.
Do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do.
Contestant number one is Andrew, an attorney from Seattle. He enjoys vintage photography and madlibbing in his free time. He's never seen a Bigfoot, but he would take you on a lovely date to 1863 to search for one. Contestant number two is Paul, a CEO from Greenwich, Connecticut. He takes his health very seriously and is almost always working out at the gym. He would whisk you off to Las Vegas in 1999 to elope at a chapel run by an Elvis impersonator. Contestant number three is Henry, a sometimes actor, sometimes singer, from the nation's capital, Washington, D.C. He's into activism and reading thick books on long autumn evenings. He'd take you back to the 1980s, so he could do it all again, man, but with you by his side. So, Lindsay, who are you choosing as the most likely to be a real-life time traveller?
Well, Chris, I think that I'm going to go for contestant number three.
Oh, contestant number three. Well, you've chosen contestant number three, but I can reveal that the answer for the real-life time traveller is contestant number one, Andrew Basiago.
Oh, okay. Well, that was my second choice.
Your first choice, number three, was Henry Rollins. Number two, that was Triple H.
Oh my God. I actually, no, I shouldn't say that. There'll be lots of opinions about my views on Henry Rollins, and I'm not making that mistake again.
Let's find out more about Andrew Basiago. So, Andrew Basiago was born in Morristown, New Jersey, on the 18th of September, 1961. Or at least, that's what I've pieced together from Google and his Facebook page. He lived a fairly normal life, growing up, going to university, and passing the bar exam, and becoming an attorney at law based out of Seattle, Washington. All was going well in his career until suddenly, in the early 90s, while sitting in a Seattle Starbucks, decked out in plaid from head to toe, whilst Even Flow by Pearl Jam played on the sound system, he gazed deep into his double ristretto, venti, half soy, non-fat, decaf, organic, chocolate brownie, iced vanilla, double shot gingerbread frappuccino, and realized, hold on, I was a childhood chrononaut. I traveled in time.
Yeah, I think you just had some kind of episode.
It's just what my favorite drink is. It's just my regular order.
This is reminding me of David Huggins, you know, having that epiphany that he was an abductee years down the line. So.
Well, it's funny. There is a lot of parallels between this. There is no alien presence. Well, actually, there is an alien presence we're going to get into later on. But as far as I know, there was no hugging and a kissing with Andrew. Andrew continued on his career as a lawyer and sometimes journalist until 2008, when he decided he was going to start submitting academic papers to National Geographic regarding things that he claimed he had observed in some blurry photographs that NASA had released from Mars. Claiming that they were signs of an alien civilization he was not only aware of, but had visited. Now, unsurprisingly, National Geographic were not falling over themselves to publish his works, but other avenues, specifically Coast to Coast AM radio, I'm sure you know them very well, were more than happy to give him airtime. So before we get into this a little bit more, what's your opinion on this so far? So Andrew, contestant number one, he has had an epiphany that he actually traveled back in time when he was younger.
I'm getting Huggins vibes all over with this. It's like you're going about your life and then one day you're sitting in Starbucks and bam, you are a time traveler or you are an alien abductee. It just seems to be, I don't know if there's a word for this, like there should be a word for this, whatever it is that happens to people where at some point in their life they're like, get all, I don't want to say false memories, but they get all of these sudden memories that have never been part of their life before until that moment. And then shit goes off the rails. There needs to be a term for this. There really does, because it's just screaming David Huggins to me. If you don't know what I'm talking about, previous episode will explain everything.
Basiago claims that he was recruited by the US government into a program called Project Talent, which was looking for children who were especially talented when it came to psychic abilities. And between the ages of 7 and 12, during the 1970s, he was part of a top-secret government program run by the USA, which was experimenting in traveling back in time, and was specifically run by the Defense Advanced Research Projects Agency, better known to all Metal Gear Solid fans as DARPA.
The DARPA chief.
Reportedly, like all reputable projects, young people were the key, said DARPA chief Gary Glitter in a rare interview at the time.
Chris. We do not want to be in his gang.
Well, this was due to the notion that children could adapt well to the strains of moving back and forth through the space-time continuum. As noted before, Andrew did not remember any of this well into the 1990s, and he feels that he was subjected to memory repression techniques and Pavlovian training methods designed to help him forget his time-traveling past. And as you pointed out before, this is not too dissimilar to David Huggins, who featured in the previous episode, who claimed to have suddenly remembered having a relationship he had with a sexy alien called Crescent. Listen now, if you haven't already, folks. A DARPA was supposedly experimenting with different forms of time travel, and Basiago states that he experienced 8 differing types of time travel technology during his time enrolled in Project Pegasus. The most commonly used
consisted of 2 grey elliptical booms about 8 feet tall, separated by about 10 feet, between which a shimmering curtain of what Tesla called radiant energy was broadcast. Radiant energy is a form of energy that Tesla discovered that is latent and pervasive in the universe and has among its properties the capacity to bend time-space.
Mmm. So
I love a bit of Tesla.
Well, you're going to get a little bit more of him in a moment. But as far as I can work out, to put it in layman's terms, this was Stargate. And it was just a big wibbly-wobbly curtain. And if you jumped into it, you popped out on the other side at the desired location in time and space. And in that way, it does function like a wormhole, like we sort of talked about earlier. Now, the mention of Nikola Tesla is an interesting one, and much of this hinges on this technology being unfinished material left behind by Tesla after his death. So let's just leave Andrew to one side at the moment to finish his Starbucks, and let's just explore Tesla, time travel, and death rays.
Yes.
So Tesla was a Serbian-American inventor who perhaps is famous mostly at the moment for being the name of a car, but was actually...
No, he's not. Don't.
Most Elon Musk popping up on the podcast again. But really...
sacrilege.
Tesla is best known for his contributions to alternating current. You could say that he is the AC in AC/DC. Tesla held over 300 patents on everything from radar to robotics. And after achieving fame with his alternating current and marveling folks with his Tesla coil, which is also what he called his penis, he fell on hard times.
Stop it. I can't laugh. I love him.
Now, I hope I don't break the image of him for you, but towards the end of his life, he was staying in hotels in Manhattan on reputation alone. Out of money, and just waiting until the bills piled up when he would just move on to another hotel. He captivated the public and several governments around the world with his claim that he had created a beam weapon that could be used in future warfare, or as the press nicknamed it, Tesla's Death Ray. He claimed that this weapon could shoot down an airplane from 250 miles away. And you can imagine how in the run-up to World War II, the US and its allies were very interested in what Tesla could bring to the table. Unfortunately, it's likely that all he was serving was a buffet of lies. While no proof exists that Tesla did not invent a death ray, there also is no proof that he did, which is kind of the more important side of the burden of proof here. When a maid walked in on him in 1943 and found the 83-year-old Nikola Tesla stark naked except for his socks, and also completely dead, the hunt was on to acquire any secret projects that Tesla had been working on, including the aforementioned death ray.
Yeah, but Tesla did everything in his head, so there'd be nothing. Wouldn't leave his death ray material behind, would he?
Well, you say that, but quite quickly, a relative took possession of Tesla's notebooks, his degrees and medals that were found in a safe in his room, and the US government was pissed and promptly impounded everything that had Tesla on it to prevent the death ray falling into the wrong hands.
Yeah, they would have been pissed because they'd definitely be interested in the death ray, considering that they were also interested in telepathically communicating with dolphins, remember, Chris, in a previous episode. So they're definitely all over this.
I still bear the mental scars from that episode. If anyone wants to go back to listen to LSD, Love and Dolphins, do so at your own risk. So in the seized property, other experts in the field went through Tesla's notes and found all of his work on the death ray to be purely speculative without any firm scientific backing. But then suddenly, word came on the wire that a mysterious package had been found in a nearby hotel safe, which was the property of Tesla and reportedly was his death ray prototype. Officials arrived and found the package, and as they were discussing about the best way to go about opening it, the hotel manager handed them a note written by Tesla. And in it, he claimed to the hotel manager that the contents of the package were the death ray and that it was worth $10,000. And if the package was opened incorrectly, then the whole thing would go kaboom.
Oh my gosh, was it a funny last practical joke?
No, he was using it as currency to get free hotels. I'll give you this mystery box. It's worth $10,000. And but you must never open it because it will explode. But if you sell it, it will be worth a lot of money. Also, I'm Dracula for some reason.
Tesla's YouTube shorts. Hey, man, do you want to trade this for a dollar? Look inside.
Well, the officials opened the package carefully and found inside a real-life working death ray.
Oh, my God, yes.
No, they didn't. They actually found a simple circuit used to measure resistance. So why am I telling you this? Well, it's because it's claimed that the time travel technology that Basiago talks about was discovered in the items claimed, or should I say seized, by the US government. And this is what led DARPA sending our time slip solicitor back in history.
Ooh.
So, Lens.
Yes.
Where do you think the US would send Andrew, or rather, when would they send him?
Probably to the 1944. To kill Hitler. I don't know.
To kill Hitler. Oh, okay. That would be an interesting thing. And it's also quite a logical thing. But no, they did not. They didn't do that at all. back like a couple of years.
Yeah.
So Andrew says that he was sent back multiple times during his time on Project Pegasus, sometimes to the same place and time, and he even ran into himself on several occasions. His main claims are that he went back 1 million years into the past and witnessed the dinosaurs.
So yes.
You'd be right there alongside him.
Yes. But Chris, this is what I've been meaning to tell you. I went for a coffee today and I had an epiphany that... No.
Andrew also claims that he went back to the Netherlands in the 1800s. I would also point out that at the time that he was claiming that, he was also being interviewed by a Dutch interviewer at the time, which is rather convenient. He says that he went to the Gettysburg Address and to the assassination of Lincoln, the Battle of Brooklyn Heights, and even once or twice jumped forward into 2045.
Ooh, now I want to hear about 2045. I know about all the other stuff. Who cares? 2045.
I'll get into that in a little bit, but he knows that he's destined for greatness because he's seen himself in 2045. So, Linz, imagine this for a second. So you've been sent back in time, mm-hmm. and you bump into somebody and you make the claim, I'm a time traveler. How are you going to prove it to that person?
I'd pull out my smartphone. I'd start recording videos of us. I'd get like...
Bear in mind, this is the 1970s, so they didn't have smartphones.
Oh, yeah, I'm from the 70s. Well, I'd just show up in all my modern clothes and I'd tell them about... Oh, I would tell someone what was going to happen, like, the next week. I'd bring a newspaper and I'd be like, this is going to happen next week. Here, you can read this and in a week it's all going to happen. And then it would. And they'd be like, oh my God, you're a time traveler. Right?
An interesting idea. What the US government actually furnished Andrew with was a special bit of paper with holographic material on it to prove and marvel those in the past that he was actually from the future. And when I say holographic material, I mean in the sense of a shiny Charizard card, by the way. Like, not as in, you know, the kind of hologram that you might find on some modern paper money in some countries these mm-hmm. days. Just a shiny bit of material. And hey, that might work depending on how far back you go.
That's rubbish.
He claimed that this piece of paper allowed him to advise several important figures in history, such as George Washington, on tactics, which gave rise to the rumor that George Washington was advised by angels, because that is how they interpreted him.
Oh.
Because they did not have a concept of a time traveler.
But he was still a man.
I don't know. What do I look like? A time traveler? So Andrew's most interesting claims center around Abraham Lincoln. And if you want more information on that log cabin living pro wrestling president, make sure you check out our episode in the archive, The Curious Case of Abraham Lincoln's Ghost. But
it's
anyway,
a good one.
It's one of my favorites, actually. But Basiago claimed that he went back in time to witness the assassination of Lincoln 5 or 6 times, even bumped into himself multiple times, but was not really sure of the purpose that he was being sent back for, because he was never really given any guidance. He was just sent back. Andrew traveled to the Gettysburg Address in 1863. And for any of us who are not born stateside, who will know this instantly, that's Lincoln's famous speech that started 67 years ago. Well, Andrew, he was there. Although quite inconveniently, when he landed in 1863, for some reason, he was left without any shoes.
Hippie.
Inconvenient, but luckily a union-backing shopkeeper took pity on him and handed him the only pair of shoes left in the shop, which were a grossly oversized pair of men's shoes, which he was wearing as a 7-year-old boy. Now look, Linz, I know what you're thinking, okay? I know what you're thinking.
What?
You don't believe this, do you?
No, it's so stupid.
What a position to take. Well, you're going to have egg all over your face in a second. What if I told you there was proof?
You're going to show me a picture of some old shoes.
I have a picture here.
Okay.
Of some old shoes. But there's also a boy in those shoes. So I have an actual photograph from the Gettysburg Address. So would you like to see?
Yes, please. Yeah.
Firstly, I'm just going to send you a picture of Andrew as he is today, because you need something to compare it to. Because how do you know that this is Andrew?
Yeah.
You don't.
Okay. So
have a look and just describe Andrew to me.
Sorry. It's not that funny. He's just a man, but...
He's just a man, a normal, innocent man.
Yeah. How old is he here? I can't put an age on him.
He's in his 50s.
Yeah, he's in his 50s. It's a nice picture. He looks very smooth on it. Filters, maybe. Good lighting. Not Very pleasant. He's got light, I guess it's greyed hair, combed back, side parting. Little wry smile on his lips there. Standing in front of the flag, dressed quite formally. Yeah, just a guy.
So now let's have a look at Andrew back in time. The only, as we know, evidence, hard evidence of an actual time traveller.
Okay, let's have it. Oh, the suspense is killing me. Sorry, I need to have a zoom on this. Right, yeah, very old picture. Looks like a tin type photo, actually.
Mm.
It's all worn at
This is a legitimate picture from the time.
Yeah, yeah. It looks like a tin type of the address. And then there's some boys, the younger boys standing in the background. And we have a very blurry one in the foreground with a big red circle around it, of course. And it's a boy in some shoes that don't look too massive. Not what I imagined. I was imagining like a Krusty the Clown.
No, I don't think these look like clown shoes, really.
They look like a certain type of shoe because there's another boy with like knee-high ones on and they look quite long.
Yeah.
I guess you would be buying your shoes slightly bigger back then because you wouldn't be affording them as you grew. So maybe they bought them bigger. That would be my guess.
Yeah. Well, quite possibly. But this is a very blurry photograph. I mean, obviously we're comparing a 50-year-old man against himself at 7, which would be quite difficult anyway.
Got no facial features. It's that blurry.
Yeah, you really see anything at all here. I would implore you all to please go to the Instagram and take a look at this evidence that we have of this boy who's standing there with his hands in his pockets, best that I can see, with a flat cap on and no face.
Oh, that's a flat cap. I thought that was like a young, lean haircut.
To be honest, it could be anything. I mean,
yeah, that's how blurry this thing is.
It could also be like, yeah, it could be like a backwards cap. To be honest, I don't really know.
To be honest, Chris, as you know, I collect like antique photography and I have 1,000 pictures like this and I could just pull one out and go, look, it's me back in the day with my comically oversized shoes that look perfectly normal.
Well, you might have a future career in front of you. But do you think that we can say that this is definitive?
No, it's time silly.
Well, you're silly.
Yes, that may be true, but this is also silly, Chris.
I know, but well, that is the concept of the podcast. But,
meta.
No, well, you'll be happy to know that Andrew didn't just visit our planet. Oh, no.
Yes.
Andrew has also been to Mars.
I told you, David Huggins vibes.
Now, he first ventured there in the 1980s towards the end of his time on the Pegasus program. And he was nominated as an Earth ambassador to the Martians, part of something called the Jump Room program.
Okay. Nice name.
Yeah. He wasn't the only Earth ambassador to the Red Planet, though. He was joined by several other Indigo children, as he calls the gifted kids that were on this intergalactic time-traveling summer camp. He served alongside one Barry Soetoro, who went on to become... Any guesses, Linz?
What was his name, sorry?
Barry Soetoro. Went on to become a very famous individual.
No clue. Couldn't even guess.
Well, remember I said that we were going to have a presidential time traveller?
Oh! Yes.
Well, Barry Bloody Soetoro only went on to become President Barack Obama. Now, sadly, the US government is currently covering up the former president's time travel past.
Uh-huh.
Mm. some of you may recognize the name Barry Soetoro, especially any of you who were politically active around the time of the Obama regime, because that was a name that can be found on several faked documents reporting to show that Obama was classified as a foreign student in the USA. The key word there being faked. They were not real documents, but these were university documents showing that Obama, A, had a different name, and B, was classed as a foreign student, which therefore, if you follow along, the logic means that he was not allowed to be the president of the United States.
I think I do remember this rubbish. This period of time, yeah. I do remember that being a thing. Ridiculous.
Well, Linz, I promised you a presidential time traveler, and I delivered. But guess what? Guess what?
What?
I'm going to give you another.
Oh, come on.
In 2016 and 2020, one Andrew Basiago ran for president of the United States of America under the slogan, A Time for Truth.
Spoiler. A time for truth and a time for travel. Then it's COVID because it was 2020.
Exactly. Spoiler, he did not win, being bested by Donald Trump and Joe Biden, respectively. But Linz, what kind of a policy would you expect a time-traveling president to run on? What kind of platform?
Borders, no nations.
No flags, no patriots?
Yeah, exactly.
Key amongst Andrew's policies was that Microsoft Word 2007 was vastly inferior to Microsoft Word 2003, a perfect word processing tool.
Yeah, he really wasn't okay, was he?
So, would you mind just reading his official word on Microsoft Word?
Investigating the computer and software fields. The president should ask the Office of Technology Assessment to investigate technical decline in the computer and software fields. For example, why Microsoft, after perfecting Word in its 2003 version, substituted it with a far inferior version in Word 2007, and why Toshiba introduced PCs with faulty basic functions, like copy-paste that has copy-paste functions that collapse while paste is being attempted. Is there a plot to make computer use in the US slower, less functional, more cumbersome, less efficient, more time-consuming, less productive, and more aggravating? That is what we have seen.
The previous announcement has been paid for by Andrew D. Basiago for president. Vote Andy in 2016. I mean 2020.
Like, this is something you send to a company to say, like, you might want to review. This is not the reason you run for... What? It doesn't make any sense.
It wasn't his soul.
Okay.
I will say it wasn't his soul thing, but it is the one that seems to... So I had to use the Wayback Machine to access any of this. There's no trace of this anywhere, and it only happened a couple of years ago.
You have done an amazing job.
I've had to hunt this down, and this was the only policy that survived, and I was quite happy about that, to be honest. But it does seem he ran on various other platforms as well and various different things, but he's weirdly specific. This is legit. And you know what? Understanding Andrew as, after reading about him for more time than I probably should spend on a middle-aged white man, I think we might see Andy again in 2024. It's 2020. Every 4 years, isn't it? Yeah. So
yeah.
2024. I have a feeling that we're going to see Andy again in 24. And you know what? He's got my vote.
Same. Not that we can vote for him, but spiritually, we'll be voting for him.
I'm fairly sure that even as non-US citizens, we could vote for Andrew D. Basiago, and it would have no impact on him being elected. So, Linz, there you have it. So let's wrap this up then. So what do you make of Andrew Basiago's claims that he traveled in time? Where do you sit on this?
Well, As much as I want to believe that this man is legitimate, it's just ridiculous. Like, nothing you've presented to me makes any sense. Like, the evidence of time travel.
How dare you?
I love it. Like, I love the photo. Like, of all the things he could have came up with, he was like, you know what? Microsoft was at its peak. Microsoft Word was at its peak in 2003. Fashion was at its peak in the 1800s. I don't know. None of it makes sense. I mean, the things he's claimed to have done didn't seem to have any kind of, like, impact or influence on the future at all. Like, if he's a time traveler, like, couldn't he have gone back and fixed it so that he would get elected and that he could come out with a better message? If he's a time traveler, he could have hopped forward to the future and went, yeah, I totally shat the bed on my run for president. I'm going to go back and change some things, change some policies, maybe copy Obama's homework. I don't know. Anything but this.
He purports to know that he is a future president, but he's just not sure exactly when he was elected. So he's just got to keep trying and trying until he gets elected. You've got to respect that, Moxie.
Well, but yeah, I mean, sure, believe in yourself. But
Andrew does claim, though, that he did have some influence over events, but he's very much talking about the grandfather paradox. So he does claim that he went back and advised Washington during the Battle of Brooklyn Heights and in other places as well, and that it was this information, this advice that he was giving that turned the tide. But then again, you get into the grandfather paradox where he had to have been in a world where George Washington won in order to be him as he is right now, to go back in time and then offer the same advice to George Washington in order for him to then win the battle again. And my head hurts now.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, I guess since he was being sent by a government program, he probably didn't have much control. He also was being sent with the no missions in a bit of shiny paper. So, yeah, I mean, can we expect anything more from him? I mean, would his excuse be, I couldn't take anything back with me because that would have some kind of effect?
I don't know. I don't know, really. It's, with Andrew, it's all a mystery. What I can tell you is that he is still quite active in a social media sort of a way. So he does have a Facebook page.
Okay.
As in a personal Facebook page that just seems to be other people tagging him in a lot of weird things. He does appear on quite a few radio shows and interviews and seems to be carving a little career for himself of being that guy who traveled in time. And if you go over to our Patreon, I will post some of these interviews with him, where you can actually listen to him yourself. Normally I include a couple of clips from our subject in this, but Andrew's quite in depth, and I don't mean that as a criticism. I just mean it as he does give very long and lengthy answers, and at a certain point I would just be reproducing someone else's work, so I can't just plonk that in wholesale in here. So do go and listen to those. You'll be able to find them on our Patreon, patreon.com/dystopian-simulation-radio.
I wonder where he came up with this idea to start doing it, though. Like, oh, I'm going to start claiming to be a time traveler now. Like, I wonder what inspired him to go, yeah, I'm going to go down this route.
It is quite an interesting route to go down, though, as an attorney. Now, and I have no idea the level of success that he may have or may not have. I don't know.
Well,
there's no criticism of him. I just have no idea. But I don't know if my attorney, my lawyer, my solicitor, whatever it was, also claimed to be a time traveler. I'm not quite sure how that would sit with me, to be honest.
Well, his services would be out of this world. Put it that way.
There would be. But, you know, the problem is with attorneys, they charge by time.
So he can just keep rolling it forward. Do a Ferris Bueller.
Yeah, he just keeps rolling it
Oh, no, he rules it backwards. Got to correct yourself so we don't get the emails.
It's fantastic value for money. They do, but I mean, you can imagine that like a court case would just sort of devolve into it at some point, but wouldn't they be like, yes, it's a very interesting, interesting argument that my esteemed colleague, Mr. Basiago, is making, but may also put forth to the jury that Mr. Basiago believes that he was there when Lincoln was shot.
But you know what he could do, though? Time-traveling lawyer, right? He could go, if you were, like, convicted or, like, charged with some kind of, like, murder and you had to go to trial, he could go back in the past to the scene of the crime and just watch it happen.
Or he could go back and be like, no, don't leave that speck of blood there. Clear up after you.
Yeah, exactly. Like, he'd actually be a really great lawyer to have.
That's not how Andrew speaks, by the way. I don't know why he's turned into Alan Partridge.
Yeah, everyone turns into Alan Partridge when you have to do an impression of them. Chris was also saying ridiculous things earlier, like Testy McGee and such other such phrases.
Oh. Well, Lynn, do you think, slightly shifting tacts here, do you think that the US government has time travel technology?
I think they're probably trying until their eyes bleed because, like I said, they tried to telepathically communicate with dolphins, and which was a precursor to communicating with aliens once they came. So I believe they're definitely frigging trying until their knuckles are raw. But no, I don't think they do.
Phrasing it, but yes, I agree with you. I don't know if they have time travel technology. I'd probably hasten to say yes.
100%. Even though I can't legally do it, I will do it with the powers of my mind. I'll echolocate it to a dolphin, and then he can, I don't know, confuse a pedestrian to vote on my behalf. So yes. Long-winded way of saying yes.
Well, we've got to... I do believe wholeheartedly, though, the US government and probably every government around the world is experimenting in time travel and has done in the past to try and make it a thing. But I don't think any of them have necessarily got anywhere. But then again, if they've managed to go forward in time, maybe we just haven't found out yet.
I guess we'll see.
Last question, then. For yourself, Linz, and for all of our listeners, will you be voting for Andrew as president, third time lucky?
100%. Even though I can't legally do it, I will do it with the powers of my mind. I'll echolocate it to a dolphin, and then he can, you know, confuse a pedestrian to vote on my behalf. So yes, long-winded way of saying yes.
I mean, I don't even use Word. I've got a Mac. But I'm still on board with this.
Beautiful episode, Chris. Thank you so much for sharing your story.
You're very welcome. Thank you for listening. And I hope everybody out there enjoyed this episode. You can let us know your thoughts, your feelings, your hopes, your fears about time travel over on our Instagram, which is...
@d.s.radio.
And don't forget that if you are a Patreon, you can join our new exclusive friend club on Instagram by searching for
@DSR Friend Club.
And if you want to be part of a friend club, then all you got to do is sign up for our Patreon at any level. Head over there to patreon.com/dystopian simulation radio. We appreciate all of the support that we can get. Thank you so much.
Yes. And we also have, if you just want to do like a one-off donation and you don't want to sign up to Patreon or anything, we have a tip jar in our Linktree link, which you can find on the Instagram @d.s.radio. Thank you everyone so much for listening, and we will see you next time in the dystopian simulation.
Bye.
Bye.
Five, four, three, two, 1. What a shame.
You just want to jump into a blue box or press a button on your watch and whoosh, time travel.